to severe mental health conditions has been described by my next guest as a hidden epidemic. Self-harm and suicidal ideation are on the rise, and to make matters worse, there aren't enough mental health beds to help treat teenage inpatients. Dr. Mary Cannon, Professor of Psychiatric Epidemiology and Youth Mental Health at the RCSI University of Medicine and Health Sciences, believes a complete shift in our health system is needed. She joins now. Good afternoon, Mary. How are you today?
I'm good, Tom. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for joining us. You're describing these numbers as astronomical.
Yeah, Tom, we've been looking at data from a study, a population-based study of young people, which was carried out just toward the end of the pandemic October 21. And the rates of mental health problems and suicidal ideas and lifetime suicide attempts for these young people really caught us all by surprise. And these were transitioning students, for 15, 16-year-olds in North Dublin, in Cavan, Monaghan. And we found that 32% and 42% of them said that they had a history of self-harm at some point during their life. And these were, students interviewed in school. We had a very good response rate to this. And then, in terms of suicide attempts, we had, almost 10% were saying that they had attempted suicide at some point.
Sorry, what percent?
And in terms of lifetime suicide attempts for these young people, we found between 9 and 12% of them said that they had attempted suicide. The differences were it was slightly lower in the rural areas and higher in the urban area. So what we're dealing with here is some kind of, as I said in the piece, some kind of epidemic. This is an indication that our young people are in distress, and the services need to respond to this.
I have to say, Mary, the numbers are absolutely startling.
They are startling.
I have a child in transition year, right in the center of this demographic. So I'm looking at those numbers: 32%, the 9 to 10. That's 1 in 10.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think
yes.
I would represent
yes.
a lot of parents who would think it would be a fraction of that. I think most parents would be assuming it's 0.001. It'd be a really low number.
Yes, no, it has been rising. I mean, it used to be lower, but I think the pandemic has had an effect. And what we're seeing now is the culmination of a number of different factors, including the pandemic. But there's other issues going on as well. We need to get to the bottom of this.
I presume we're not anywhere close to the bottom, because obviously the question everybody will be asking is why? Why are these numbers shooting up?
It's something we don't have a clear answer for yet. I think there's a number of factors coming together. I think the pandemic, obviously, with the lockdown and, being out of school, lack of contact with friends, as well as increased academic stress, that's one issue. The other issue is we're finding very high rates of social media use in these young people, particularly in young girls, which is distressing, and which they are, there's issues of bullying and worrying behaviours online. The rates of substance use are also higher than we have seen before in recent times. And this is becoming more normalised in young people as a way of dealing with distress. And also the issue of, talking more about mental health. I think that is another issue. We're talking more about it, but young people are finding they're perhaps not getting the response that they want when they talk about it.
Right. The social media thing, I think, is something we probably have to come back to in the future, because I think it obviously is the elephant in the room, and it's magnifying everything that goes on in their lives hugely.
Yeah.
But the thing that struck me, though, is we are talking more about mental health than ever before. You hear ads for people talking about, don't be afraid to say it, bring it up, and I think it's more visible than it's ever been. So to hear figures like this is even more shocking, isn't it?
It is, yes. We have good services in Ireland for young people at the mild to moderate end of the spectrum in terms of mental health. We have Jigsaw, we have spunout.ie, which is an online information service for young people. We have Pieta House. There's a lack of, I suppose, the services being joined up in terms of people who may need more specialist help for the more severe end of the spectrum. And there, the services are under incredible pressure. And, you know, the waiting lists are very long. We're finding difficulty in staffing services for young people, particularly in the child and adolescent mental health services. And, you know, as you know, there's been a lot of controversy lately, so there's a lot of scrutiny of these services, and staff are feeling quite under pressure. So, you know, this is the increasing demand, and yet the service provision hasn't kept up with that.
Well, it seems like it not only hasn't kept up, it's actually fallen behind as well, because I see reports that the number of beds are actually down.
They are, yes. That comes back to the issue with staff. You need a lot of staff to man the adolescent units, and you need a lot of staff for a child and adolescent mental health team. And if you don't have enough staff, you have to close your beds. So beds have been closed in the adolescent units in Dublin, and as far as I know, in Galway as well. So, you know, we've a few number of beds anyway, but even those are reducing.
For the number of beds to be going down at a point when discussion of mental health is, you know, never more visible, as I was saying, that's appalling, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's not just the adolescent mental health beds have gone down. All our mental health beds have gone down. I don't know if people realise how many we have lost over the past few decades. You know, when I started training, there was never a problem getting a bed for someone who knew it was in a mental health crisis. It just wasn't an issue. You know, back in the 1960s, you know, we had 20,000 beds. Now, of course, that probably was too many. We had to move from the institutions out into the community, but the beds, we lost so many beds. We're now down to about 2,000. Essentially a tenfold decrease. I don't know if the public are aware of the pressures that we're operating under at all times because of the lack of beds and being unable to access inpatient beds when we need them.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they are. I wouldn't say they are. I think this will come as a huge shock to many people listening to this, who are assuming, when you hear more conversation around mental health, are assuming there's also more resources around it as well, which seems to be the absolute opposite. So, I mean, the question is, what can be done?
Yes, I think we need to start by looking at the budget for mental health. At the moment, we're operating at only about 5 or 6% of the health budget. Now the health budget is about 22 billion. Mental health gets 1 billion, which sounds like a lot of money, but as a proportion of the whole health budget, it's very, very small, considering, you know, almost 1 in 4 presentations to GPs are about mental health issues. It's very, very prevalent. So I think that needs to be looked at. And also the issue of the separation between mental health and physical health. You know, we're investing a lot in you know, a huge new children's hospital, but it's going to have not minimal impact on mental health care for young people. And in fact, mental health issues are the key issue for young people, you know, between age about 15 to 25. That's the main reason young people get ill. It's not their physical health, their healthiest part of life. The other issue we need to look at is this issue of the separation between child services and adult at the age of 18. So you've got young people who are aged 19 or 20 being told they have to go to adult mental health services. And I think we need to be looking at maybe a more youth-focused service for young people.
Right. Other question too, is there much of a divide between private facilities and public facilities?
That's a very good question, Tom. I don't know, if people realise how little private healthcare there is for mental health for young people. It's very difficult to get a private psychiatrist. Your health insurance isn't actually of a lot of use to you when you have a mental health crisis in your young person. I'm not sure if people do realise that. So we need to invest much more, build up the public services, because we don't really have the private option when it comes to mental health care and mental health crises.
A very worrying situation, it must be said. My thanks to Dr. Mary Cannon, their Professor of Psychiatric Epidemiology and Youth Mental Health at the RCSI.